All right. Ooh. Look. I got that wow. Who wants some hands up right now? We got that. Turn it up loud. I know you're wondering how. I got that wow. Here I go coming. I can't ever stop. I'm a tour de force running. Get me to the top. I don't need an invitation. I'm about to start a celebration.
Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Hello. Hi, ladies. I am in a celebratory mood. Are you guys in a good mood today?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you celebrating?
Well, that's part of our intro music is I'm about to start a celebration. I was just thinking I was me and Cool and the Gang celebrate good times.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes. Well, welcome to Three Cocktails In. With a couple of friends who have been there, done that, and still want more. Yeah. Kitty, Stacy.
We've definitely been there.
We've been there.
I've been around the block a few times.
Yeah, us and Jenny.
There's so many people that would not get that reference. That's okay.
Jenny from the block. Mm-hmm. Little J-Lo love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yep.
It kind of does tie in a little bit about being around the block a few times. You guys, I want to talk about the women's Final Four basketball tournament.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you watch? Stacy, yep. I know you did.
Yes, I did. Yep.
Being an Iowegian, you had to.
Oh, yeah. We had to watch. Yep. 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 It was exciting. Even the loss. You know, in the finals for Iowa,
yeah.
still good. They came out, you know, they came out so strong. I thought, oh my gosh, they actually can win this, you know.
Yes.
It's a long stretch to go, you know, four quarters for that.
Yes.
And a lot of times they come out super strong in the second half. And that's, I think, when, you know, North Carolina was stronger.
South Carolina.
Sorry.
South Carolina. Yeah.
Between that and the men's. Anyway, South Carolina.
I didn't watch the men at all.
You didn't?
Yeah. Nope. But that's not unusual for me. But Kitty, did you watch it all?
We only watched a couple of the games.
Okay.
No, just, yeah, I want to say the last two games we watched. And primarily, well, and Bill's an Iowegian also. So he's always interested, but also it was just everybody talking about it.
Yes.
That you just feel like, oh, I better watch this game because there might be some conversation at work tomorrow, you know? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Isn't that fantastic?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Speaking of everybody watching it, I have loved looking at the numbers of viewership. Mm-hmm. What did they say? 18.4 million. Viewers watched the last game, and during parts of that game, it spiked up to 24 million viewers. That's more viewers than at the World Series, than at a Super Bowl, than any college sport. Mm-hmm. I think almost all of the professional sports have not had that much viewership, and it was because these women were so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It has taken a long time to get here.
Yes, yeah. It has.
It actually, I found one stat where it's doubled in the past couple of years. You know, 2 years ago, it was like 4 million. Last year, 9 million. This year, 18 million. You know, I mean, that's huge. Just from, you know, wanting to see, you know, like I said, these women basketball players that are breaking records.
Mm-hmm.
Right and left. And yeah.
Super good. I'm a sports fan. I like to listen to all the commentary around it, but there were a bunch of men on one show, and let's put a pin in talking about all the women who called all these games and were commentators. Let's go back to that. But the men were talking about how the women's game is where the energy's at. And how everybody knows superstars, and it's not just Caitlin Clark, and it's not just Angel Reese, it's Juju Watkins, it's Paige Beckers, it's, you know, Camilla Cardoza, it's all these people. And I had a thought. I think it's because men's college basketball has become a one and done. They just look at it as a stepping stone to the NBA. So you don't develop any sort of relationship with a player. There's nobody that comes in as the freshman who lights it up, and then you get to watch him for the next 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's something to be said. Maybe the NBA doesn't, God knows they're making $1 bazillion. But I think that that's what has been so fun. I mentioned Paige Beckers. Paige Beckers and Tessa Johnson, both Minnesotans. People in Minnesota have heard Paige Beckers' name forever. I'm sure Caitlin Clark, you've heard her name forever. Mm-hmm. I would even go so far to say is Caitlin Clark is one of the few things that could bring together Hawkeyes and Cyclone fans.
Yeah. Yes.
Because they're not of the same camp.
No, for sure.
No. And it's not often that Minnesota roots for Iowa teams, but I know that a lot of people did.
Yeah.
And I think it's that you get to watch them and you somehow are invested in them. And Kitty.
So when, yes.
Well, I was going to talk to you. Go ahead, ask your question, because mine has to do with the branding, the marketing. Okay.
Yeah. So when did this really start to get some traction? So we know that we are all grateful for 1972 when Title IX was passed.
Yes.
It is crazy to think that that was when I think about that year, 1972. So, you know, we were five.
Five.
Right.
Yep.
Crazy that that had to pass in order for us to, you know, have equal funding and girls and women being able to be included in athletics. But it took a while still for it to really, the results of that to really be seen. This extreme excitement that we've just come out of with the Final Four, when do you really feel like that momentum started to get underway? Was it 5 years ago? Was it more than that? And I just wasn't paying attention. I don't know.
Can you guys hear the motorcycles in the background?
Boy. Are they racing?
Nice weather. There's the crew. Sorry about that. I think that since Title IX, there have been blips, especially in America's history, where we've gotten behind women's athletics.
Yeah.
If you think back to Chrissy Evert in tennis, mm-hmm. Billie Jean King in tennis, mm-hmm. Of course, the Williams sisters, and there's been a lot of tennis seems to be one of those sports that, you know, when they get there, everybody knows their name. I would say the 1999 U.S. Women's National Soccer Team.
Yep.
Which was an amazing year. I mean, think of all the Mias that you know now. That is from Mia Hamm, 1999. I was pregnant with Ava, had her about a month later, and I so badly wanted to name her Mia, and was shot down. It, you know, just add it to the long list of names. I love Ava's name, but you know, that's how that goes.
Women's gymnastics, you know, like Olympic sports. You see women, you know, we know a lot of women's names from Olympics. Yes. You know, I think this basketball thing is new for sure.
Yes.
Don't you think? Yeah. You know, just the fact, women's basketball being so popular all of a sudden is definitely new.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder if it's bigger now because of the results of Title IX. So many girls have been playing at high, they're out there just competing. It's now okay. And it's been okay for them for a long time to be beasts on the court and to play hard. It used to be that there were a few college schools that were just phenomenal and all the good players wanted to go to a few of those. Mm-hmm. Tennessee, UConn, would you say Stanford, Stacy? Are you drawing any other?
Between UCLA and, you know what I mean? California.
Yeah. California schools. Sure. Yeah. Well, I think that there are just so many more athletes now that can play at that caliber that they're not all flooding to one or two schools. Mm-hmm. So you've got half a chance in your state to know a couple players, and you track those players.
Yeah.
And so there are more colleges. And I know a number of the coaches are talking about that, you know, and it's the same kind of conversation that's going on with the U.S. women's national team in soccer. It, you know, people are like, oh, U.S. isn't as good. Nope. I think everybody else is catching up, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But man, have things changed. You guys, when I was a junior in high school, my girls' basketball team went to the state tournament. The year before, the boys went to the state tournament. My junior year, the girls went to the state tournament. Let me just compare the two, shall we? So the boys team had great warm-ups, you know, the snap-off pants, the whatever. Girls had a t-shirt with our names on the back. And by the way, my last name, Flick, they put it on there in all caps. You don't space that L and I right, and it does not look good. And so yeah. I brought it. Every time I'd get one of those, I'd bring it home, and my dad would get the razor out and trim the L back so that, you know, it didn't look like a four-letter word out there on the back of my jersey. But the moms, bless their freaking hearts, because we didn't really have PTO back there or the booster clubs sort of things. The moms on the team got in touch with the women gym teachers, the facts, the sewing teachers, and made all of us girls come in, and all the moms came in, and we sewed our own warm-ups so that we could have nice pants and jackets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine right now telling the varsity boys football team, come on in.
Yeah. So we're on
Saturday.
Know. Yeah.
You're going to cut.
Yeah,
you're going to lay out the pattern. No. You're going to put pins in things. You're going to sew seams.
Yeah. Most of the parents aren't going to be able to sew, let alone everybody. I find that so hard to believe because you were a big school. You know, we were a little school and we had an actual uniform and, you know, warm-up.
Oh, we had a uniform. We had playing uniforms, but we had like the warm-up t-shirt that went over the playing uniforms, but we did not have the sweatsuit warm-ups that the boys teams had.
Interesting.
So now you see these girls, women, you know, what starts off as girls as they become women, and they're getting marketing deals and branding deals.
Yeah.
Kitty, have you noticed this? Have you had conversations? What, I mean, you talk to people all over the place. What?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that has really helped to skyrocket the whole thing and have these opportunities for young women who are, developing these amazing careers and getting sponsorship deals and things like that was the rise of social media. So it happened at the exact right time. So when all of these women were excelling in their, you know, all the names that you mentioned a little bit earlier, Amy, social media was on the rise as well, offering an opportunity that never existed before for these people to be close to their fans, for them to share their stories, and for them to build their own personal brands. So I don't think that there could have been anything more. I don't know that there's anything more effective than that for all of these rising stars. And I think that's been a lot of the engine behind all of these amazing women now as role models. And thankfully, I mean, I don't know, you don't see very many of them being in the headlines for domestic abuse, being arrested, DUI, as we get with, you know, as we get in the other major leagues.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. All the men's, geez, they're lucky to get through a season with everybody without somebody getting in trouble.
Yeah. So it's awesome that they are actually good role models.
Yeah.
Interestingly, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if anybody else has been paying attention, but there were a bunch of women who were commentating all these games.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. And they were former players and they were former coaches. And they were talking stats, but they were talking about the challenges and stuff that they had lived through. And they were really, really supportive and complimentary of all the players. And they did this fantastic job. Of course, the big names were mentioned more because that's where the expectation is. But they highlighted other players who weren't getting, who were flying under the radar. Because let's face it, mm-hmm. as we saw, you cannot win a game with one player. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes a group. But there was a side show that was Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird, and they had some other Stewart. Come on, Brianna Stewart. A lot of those girls played at UConn, and they won. They won multiple. I think that Brianna Stewart. Gosh, this is horrible that I can't nail that down.
I think she won face, but I can't tell you what her name is either.
Stewie, they call her Stewie. I think she won four national titles. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of ripping on Caitlin Clark getting a lot of juice, so to speak, a lot of attention. And they did back it up. And I will say, if you've ever listened or read anything Diana Taurasi has ever said, she's old school, man. And by old school, I mean, she has no qualms. She thinks they've got it too easy. She'd be the one that'd say, well, back in my day, I had to make my own lunch and carry it uphill both ways. You know, she's got that kind of attitude. And she said something, and people have taken it to mean it was towards Caitlin Clark. But I think she was talking about in general that you can look really good playing against 18-year-olds. But now you're going to step into our, basically she's saying, now you're coming to the real world and we're going to knock you down and sit you down and you're going to learn a few things.
Sure.
Which I'm sure every single one of those players knows that.
Oh, don't you suppose? I would even think anybody going the first year in, you know, NBA, WNBA, they're thinking, you know, I don't know what I'm going to, you know, I don't know what to expect and how I'm going to stack up there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's caught a lot of shit because somebody said, well, that's just hazing. That's how it is. Yeah. They all have the mindset that that's what we had to go through. So now that's what you have to go through. Mm-hmm. So as great as the support behind women's sports has been, why are women still sometimes our own worst enemies? How come we've not gotten that out of the way?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I think there's always going to be, I don't know if she's being a bully or not, but there's always going to be that difficult personality that you're going to deal with at anywhere in your life. So whoever is on the receiving end of that, hopefully they just look at it as, you know, this is a learning experience and, you know, it maybe fuels them to be the best that they can be. And maybe in the end, that's the intention of that person. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. We could hope.
Yeah. See, I'm trying to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Yes, you are. Yeah,
I'm just going to say, if you would, you should Google that. You should Google Diana Taurasi and it'll come up and you'll go like,
Oh yeah. Okay. Take that back. Yeah,
see what that's coming. Also, she's like nearing 40. And she, you know, she's had it hard. I will say she is a phenomenal player. Phenomenal. She's just an unbelievable player who has pulled her team along for years and years and years and been an anchor in the WNBA. Mm-hmm. My thought is, why can't you be gracious to the next crew? Because you know, all these girls, not just Caitlin Clark, but all these girls are bringing viewership with them.
Yes.
Which benefits everybody.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I wonder if, you know how you see, you know, you mentioned that, you know, there's all these women sportcasters now. Do you think that's maybe a piece of why they didn't always get so much coverage? You know, before, if you got, because you've seen it, you see the line of five men talking about the game, right? You know, you suppose You know, that's a piece of it. That's probably who was, you know, holding them back. Maybe. I mean, I could imagine that, don't you think? I mean, they want to talk about the, you know, men's NCAA instead of, you know, in the news. You know, all we would have known before social media would have been whatever we saw in the news, right? So,
yeah, probably. I mean, I think to Kitty's point earlier, without social media and their marketing and their branding deals, their sponsorships, we're not watching them as much. They're just not going to give them airtime because TV is all about dollars.
Yep.
I think what's great about all those commentators, is that the right word?
Yeah.
I think that's a stupid word. They're like commenters, but commentators. It gives athletes another opportunity past their playing careers.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've mentioned that Ava's degree is in, it was in the School of Journalism, and I think it's sports media and communications. And she had a lot of athletes in classes because they were college athletes. They love sports. They love being involved in it. They love the energy and the activity, but they could see the writing on the wall. They were not going to, not everybody goes on to play.
Yeah.
And I think that there are a lot of women out there that are really smart about the game and are really dynamic and fun to watch. And they're getting opportunities now.
They never would have before.
No.
Never would have.
Right. I'm trying to think who the women who talked about sports, even when we were young adults. I know there were a couple. Robin Roberts.
Mm.
She was an athlete,
mm-hmm.
basketball player, I believe. Anybody else come to mind?
Jeez. I don't know. But you know what? I feel like it sort of started around... You'd see a female commentator at the Olympics because they were former skaters or skiers or tennis players. You'd see Billie Jean King wrap up her career and then she would commentate. But tennis wasn't as big then, you know, as it was in the Williams sisters
era.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel like the first time we started seeing women show up in that sort of position was around tournament sort of things like the Olympics. But now it's, you know, with this movement of women having the same seat at the table as men, and I hate to say this, but they're wanting to bring women in to be able to say, hey world, we believe women should have this seat at our commentator table. So here, you know, here is Erin Andrews and, you know, whoever else, but damn, you have to know your shit to be able to do that. Talk about being scrutinized for every word, what they're wearing.
Yeah. Yes.
Every tiny little thing simply because they're a woman.
Yeah. And there's so many that are so good. So good.
Yeah.
And I will say that I'm seeing fewer and fewer people who were hired maybe because of how they looked as opposed to their abilities.
Yeah.
And you know, before you come at me about that, I also don't like people who sing the national anthem at sporting events. I'm very particular about some of these things. There's nothing worse to me than butchering the national anthem.
Yes.
I just held my breath.
You're not trying out for American Idol. It's a horrible song. Just sing it.
Sing it. Just
good pace.
Normal.
Get off the field.
Normal. No big runs and trills.
Don't scat. There's no scatting. Francis Scott Key did not allow for scatting during the middle.
You've heard people scat?
Oh, I'm just being a smartass. But you know when they do all, like you're talking about all the trills.
Yeah, all the runs. Yeah. Like,
and
you know,
can we not take a breath in the middle of a word? This could be its own show. I'm sure about things that piss me off. But there is nothing worse than stupid questions that are asked by somebody who.
Yeah.
And I know it's happened over the years that I've been a Twins fan that they make the women sometimes who are down on the field just do stupid stuff. Oh, I want to compare this hot dog to that hot dog. No, that should not be on TV.
No. Kitty, don't you wonder why it's always the, you know, female down on the field and never in the
booth? You know, Yeah.
Never in the booth and never in the halftime, you know, like I said, that desk where the five guys, you know, sit.
Yeah.
You never see any women.
Yeah, that's right.
For that, whether it be college football or NFL.
Mm-hmm. I will say baseball and basketball are both better at that. Baseball, there was a woman GM in Florida who came in and she was only there a few years and left and was like, had it with you people. Yeah. And she did amazing things for the team. Becky Hammond is now coaching. She was an assistant coach for Greg Popovich in the men's NBA. And, you know, more women are getting to be coaches. And again, why is the epitome being a coach for men's teams?
Yeah.
Why is that top shelf?
Yeah. Right. Well, I think we'll probably start to see that shift now. Because you clearly hear people say, I was talking about this with one of the guys at work today, because I said this is what we're going to talk about tonight on the podcast. And he said, I watch way more women's basketball than men's basketball. And it's simply because right now, at least, they are better games. They are more competitive. You watch a guy's game, it's snooze fest.
Yeah, because they don't play defense.
They don't play defense. Nope, it's how much you can score.
Yep.
So it's just better basketball.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, maybe all of these things are great to keep the momentum going.
Yeah. Do you think the women's coaches have been a piece of this too? I mean, you can't hardly, you know, discount Kim Mulkey, for instance. You know, you can talk all day about her loud clothes, but she certainly brought something, you know, to the women's basketball table as well, as successful as she's been, you know.
Dawn Staley.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. Lisa Bluter, definitely. She's been in it a long, long time.
26 years?
It's been a long time. Yeah.
There are phenomenal women's coaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pat Summitt. What's the one from Notre Dame that just retired? Had a very soft name for a very hard cracking woman. She was amazing. Amazing petite little thing who was just superstar. So here's a question for you. Do you feel it matters if women are coached by women?
That's a good question. You know, I don't think it does. I'm sure there's good, you know, men's coaches. I don't know. I mean, I know the Iowa State, you know, women's coach is a guy and they all love him. So
yeah,
I don't know. I've been fairly successful.
So. What do you think, Amy?
Well, I hearken back to a bad experience that came about during one of my children's high school careers where a coach was hired, I believe, as a knee-jerk reaction to a man that they got rid of. So they hired a woman. She didn't know shit about the game. She was not good. And it's one of those deals where I'd like it to be that we've come far enough that it's the best person, but yeah. I'd really like there to be way more women interviewed because I think there are phenomenal women coaches out there. Mm-hmm. But I do get that it is like so many CEO positions. You're a CEO of a corporation as a head basketball coach in college, mm-hmm. or a head coach in any sport. it's a life commitment. It's a lifestyle commitment. Mm-hmm. And if you are young and in the family era, you know, your own personal family and kids, you got to have everybody on board.
Yeah.
And I wonder, you know, the money, the time, the schedules, the rigor, the recruiting, if that doesn't, if women don't look at that same way that they do it, you know, when they get to a certain point, they're like, yep, I'm out when it comes to corporate America. I don't know.
I'm sure it's similar. It would be hard to be, you know, young, have a young family and do anything.
Not like if they have a stay-at-home husband.
Yeah.
Could.
Yeah.
Could. Yeah.
Just another one of those conundrums.
Yeah. What do you think the pay equity or disparity looks like in this, on this topic? I have no idea.
I can't believe we didn't Google it, but I would bet.
I know. Because you can Google, you know, definitely I, when I was state, being state colleges, the state pays them. So you can Google it and find out, but I didn't think to do that. However, I'm really sure that they would not be, you know, the women's coaches for both Iowa and Iowa State are not near as high as the men's basketball and the men's football. I think the men's football is higher, is the highest.
Sure.
You know, so I mean, they're not anywhere on the list, or I'd have, you know, not noticed. That's not what I mean, but you know, I just know that they're at the top, and Lisa Bluter is not up there anywhere close. So yeah, maybe after this, I would think she'd get a giant raise, but who knows?
I would bet it's probably, what do you think they make? A couple hundred thousand dollars and the men make over $1 million?
Oh, I think the men make millions.
Yeah.
Altogether. The women, I would hope more than a couple hundred thousand, but
I don't think that. Do you think they'd make $1 million?
Who knows?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know nothing about this.
We'll Google and we will look that up. That will be a piece of the information we come up with. Yeah, in my doing a little bit of research, I went down the rabbit hole of, you know, Iowa girls sports. So like at the time I had no idea what, you know, Title IX was, what that meant.
How do you not know that? I have a paper.
Oh, no. I mean, I do now. I meant in the 80s, right? In the 70s and 80s. I had no idea.
When I was in eighth grade and moved to Wilmer from Iowa. So let's talk about basketball at that point too.
Yeah. Yes.
One of the papers that I wrote that went into my writing folder that followed me year and year and year till I graduated and I got all those back was about Title IX as an eighth grader who came in. I have been a feminist forever, and that's the thing on it.
But I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to give you a little history on it. So Iowa specifically has had women's basketball since the, you know, 40s, 50s, and they've let women, I think before that. Yeah. So Title IX for Iowa women's basketball in high school was not a big thing because they had the, what do they call it? The Iowa Women's Basketball Association years before that.
Yeah,
you know, I think it was just their 50th anniversary. I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. I don't know. But, the funny thing when I was researching it was, yes, so they've had women's basketball forever, but we had 6-on-6 basketball.
Yes.
And that became a very controversial thing in the 80s because for this reason kind of that we're talking about. So Title IX really had to do more with education and giving women scholarship opportunities and that kind of thing. So with the same reason, if, you know, high school women, and I got a bug flying around, high school in Iowa, you know, up until the early 90s played 6-on-6 basketball. And the thing was that they claimed they had a harder time getting college basketball scholarships because they'd been playing 6-on-6 and not 5-on-5. So I thought that was interesting. For me, playing 6-on-6, I liked it. You know, I obviously was not going to play in college because we did not go to the state tournament. In fact, we would lose out in the first round of the, you know, regionals. So we were no good. I admit that. But it was definitely an opportunity. And back then, everybody went out for basketball, certainly in junior high.
Yep.
You know, and then got weeded out like everybody does. But it was a bigger sport. In fact, we did not have volleyball until I was in, well, we didn't have junior high volleyball when I was in junior high. But the year women's volleyball started at my high school was when I was in eighth grade. So when we got to be a freshman, we could go out for volleyball. So I thought that was interesting. I figured, you know, it was a brand new sport. Who knew? We just didn't have
2 seconds and explain what 6-on-6 basketball was.
6-on-6, different than 5-on-5, where you know, the whole team runs, you know, the full court. 6-on-6, there were three on your team. You had three on offense. They stayed on one side of the court, and your defense, three defense, stayed on the defense side of the court. So you know, some other differences would be,
you
could only dribble twice. Dribble, dribble, pass. Dribble, dribble, pass. Dribble, dribble, shoot. That's all you did. So,
yes. Yeah. So that's how I learned how to play basketball. I was a forward, so that meant I was a shooter. I got to Wilmer in eighth grade, and went from a class size of 60 to a class size of 290. So I'm already in culture shock. I've got the wrong hair. I don't have the right jeans. All these people had gone to school together forever. They changed rooms. I went to the wrong homeroom. Everything. I talk about hate my life. Okay. Oh, I did. But the one solace I had were sports. And I was good for a seventh or eighth grader. I get to basketball and now we're playing 5-on-5. And fortunately I could run. I could always run. So that wasn't a big deal to run the whole court.
Yeah.
But damn, if I didn't dribble twice and pick up my dribble and go to pass, I got yelled at so much because I could not
break the habit already.
I didn't understand. I mean, it was culture shock. You would have thought they dropped me down in the middle of Vietnam or something. I had no clue what I was doing. It was just bizarre. But the thing about Iowa basketball that has always fascinated me, and there is either an Iowa Historical Society, PBS, something like that. There is a full hour show of all this footage of former Iowa basketball and how it was the thing that brought people in town together because they were such high scoring games. There was games were 116 to 108. You know, there were just these unbelievable games. If you are ever flipping through PBS, because I've seen it in Minnesota and every time it's on, I have to text Stacey. I'm like, Stacey, it's on. Mm-hmm. It's such an interesting.
It is interesting. They made a movie a couple years ago, and they filmed it just over a little ways away from here. What movie was that,
and how have I not seen it?
Oh, it would be obscure. I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head. But yeah, they actually had, you know, tryouts of Iowa girls, you know, because you had to be high school. So then they had to teach them how to play 6-on-6 so they could be, you know, in this movie. So yeah, it was kind of interesting. I'll have to look up the name because I can't think of it. But that's part of the controversy, you know, is that, you know, that once they went from a fast 6-on-6 game, because like I said, you had a dribble, dribble, pass. So it was moving. There was none of this dribbling around.
There was no stalling at the end of the game. I mean, you could try
stalling. You couldn't. Yeah, you couldn't. So, and then going from, you know, can you imagine like the year when you were in high school and it moved to 5-on-5, you know, they were so low scoring, you know, because they just, it took a while to get, you know, get used to it. And
It is kind of a full circle moment for, I'm sure, women who are our age and older who lived in Iowa who played, because the fervor and the town getting behind basketball now is exactly like what it was back then.
Yeah.
You know, which is really cool. But man, it's taken an awful long time to get where we're at. And I'm just super, super excited about the trajectory of where women's sports are going.
Yeah.
And in all aspects, from broadcasting, from coaching, from players. I hope that they can boost the WNBA. It's a fast game, good teams. It's another good entertainment. Kitty, as you said, there's always something going on for even people who don't know really about the sport. I think that it is worth celebrating. Can we go for a little circle where we started?
Agreed.
To wrapping it up, I would like to propose a toast, if I could.
Oh, my goodness, fancy. Yep.
From the three cocktails in crew. To the youngins who are out there working their fannies off this summer, who are going to be shooting baskets on their driveway, who are going to play in gyms without air conditioning, to the women who are joining new teams and having to learn new lessons, we salute you.
We salute you.
Yes, we do.
Yay!
Awesome.
Cheers, everyone. How about we see you next time?
Yes.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
All right.
Look. I got that wow. Who wants some hands up right now? We got that. Turn it up loud. I know you're wondering how. I got that wow. Here I go, coming. Can't ever stop, I'm a tour de force running. Get me to the top, I don't need an invitation. I'm about to start a celebration, let me in. Brought a good time for some friends. Turn it up loud past 10. Turning up the crowd when I hit him with the